Oh, why, Spinator, finally get on microphone. One more time, Bug, I told you to move.
All right, don't get your knickers in a twist there, Lizard Lips.
All right, citizens, stand back. I will say, you're listening to GeekCast with pretty much everyone from the entire universe.
It's the Scott McNeil thing. We love you, bye-bye.
Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike.
Welcome to All Things Transformers, Episode 49, the Post-Botcon Edition. I'm Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is TFG1 Mike, Spada, and returning from Botcon 2010 is Michael Wilson. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey. Greetings.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. So, Hopefully, by the time the next time we record one of these, I will have a new PC because this one is really kicking my ass, and I'm about to drop kick it. Shut the hell up!
I just had to forward the scene from Office Space to somebody where they take the fax machine out into the field and demolish it.
Yeah, I didn't save this audio, but when my computer basically shut. I don't know if it's a power supply problem or what the hell the deal is, but yesterday I was just texting someone on Skype in a chat, and all of a sudden wasn't recording, wasn't talking, wasn't using up so much, you know, power on the computer. All of a sudden it just shut down, restarted, and when it restarted and Skype reloaded, the font is like 10 times smaller and I can barely see it. So if you guys need to put shit in the chat, don't. Because I won't be able to read it.
You are
That's
so
when you laugh at him.
Shut up, Steve. What has everybody been up to? Spada, what have you been up to this week?
Power core combiners and visiting my Toys R Us on almost a daily basis.
Yeah.
Other than that,
any luck?
I've got almost the entire first wave of the Power Core Combiners. Voyager Sea Spray, Legends Ravage, who is very, very cute, I might add. Aww. Still no War for Cybertron figures. I've got Bumblebee and Prime, but I'm looking for Generations Thrust and Drift.
Nice.
Actually, saying those two in the same sentence is really kind of disturbing.
Talk about a drifting thrust or a thrusting drift.
But probably the greatest, the thing that happened this week that truly, truly broke my heart. I was transforming my Transmetal Megatron, the purple and gold dinosaur. Ripped both arms clear off of the pegs, the metal pegs in there. Just transform them, and they both snapped like butter.
Did that happen to get on a video at some point?
No,
damn.
Because if it was, you would hear, oh my god, it would probably have gone viral with the number of swears.
Oh, damn.
That gold plastic syndrome, you gotta watch out for that.
Oh, it's like soul-crushing. I mean, this guy's one of my favorite figures, too, from Beast Wars. And it's like, no!
Yeah, and it's a really flimsy figure, too, because I've had two of them and had both of the arm mechanisms break right off, and I've had to...
Yeah, right at where those pins are when you unfold it. Yeah,
yep,
it just...
It's like
it
they
was
get
like,
stiff just from not being used, and then they
just
snap.
Exactly it. It was stiff, and then I just kind of... I moved a little bit, and they both just snapped. I mean, one shot across the room. But it's like, oh my god.
I don't even touch mine. I leave it alone.
Yeah, so now I'm really afraid. Like, I've got a couple of repaints of that figure, so I'm afraid to touch any of them now.
Alright. Steve, what have you been up to this week?
Not much. Got a article published in local newspaper on Geekcast Radio, podcasting, and so on. Slowly been trying to compile new blog entries on Geekcast Radio. Not really been paying too much attention to Transformers news as of late, mostly in anticipation for this show.
Yes, there really hasn't been that much news.
No, not really. And for the most part, I'm interested in War for Cybertron, but not the $40, $50 price tag for the PC edition. So I think I'm going to wait.
Yeah. All right. And we all know what Michael Wilson did this past couple of weeks. So we are going to go to him calling us from BotCon.
Hi, this is Bob Odiansky for Geekcast Radio Network. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, sure. Any place in particular?
Fantastic.
This is Matt Teeger from Geekcast Radio Network.
Thank you.
Oh. Thanks for
Please.
You got it.
I was going to record a little something for the Geekcast Radio Network.
Front,
I was recording for the Geekcast Radio
were.
Network. Yeah.
Ah.
I can do that by my picture if you want.
Sure, that would be say hello.
Hey, hello. Paul Eiting here.
Actually, it's Paul Eiting, Percepta.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, man.
Very nice to meet you.
What's your name?
Michael Wilson.
Hey, Michael. It's a pleasure, man.
Stan, as long as you're here as a captive audience, could you say hello for the Geekcast Radio Network?
For the which network?
The Geekcast Radio Network.
Okay. Hey, this is Stan Bush on the Geekcast Radio Network, and you got the touch.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Hey, Stan Bush.
Hey,
hi,
Dan.
Good to meet you. Michael Wilson from Geekcast Radio Network.
Oh, cool.
We did a podcast with you.
Yeah.
Should say Michael Blanchard, TFG on mic.
All right. Say. Address this to him, to Mike?
No, just go ahead and sign it.
Okay.
Hello there. I have a gift
for you. Recording?
I am.
Oh, okay.
God.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you've got to sign it.
That's so cool.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Carla. Carla, that is too kind. That is hot.
It was fantastic to meet you in person.
Oh, you too. Really good to meet you.
Thank you.
June 21st, 2010, Mr. Wilson took a trip. Tell us about your trip, Mr. Wilson.
Well, I tell you, we got to Disney World first, and we spent, you know, a few days in Disney World with the family, and that was kind of awesome. And, you know, Disney World, you know, how could it not be awesome? Except for the fact that it was like 95 degrees and 88% humidity the whole time.
Yeah,
it was grueling, and there was just sweat pouring off me. And I'm thinking to myself, there's 2,000 geeks that are going to converge on this area, you know, this weekend, and they're all going to smell just like this. this is not pleasant.
Oh, you're setting a wonderful scene for me come in a few weeks when Otacon is going to be in Baltimore.
Well, hopefully it won't be that bad. I mean, I took two showers a day. I showered in the morning, and then I came back at lunch, or, you know, after lunch, and showered again. So it's like, you know, I was very clean. There were some people who weren't. But that, you know, to be expected, I suppose. I don't know. God. Anyway, yeah. But, yeah, so Thursday night, you know, my wife and I went out and had a nice dinner, and then after dinner we got in line for our BotCon registration. Now, normally at a BotCon registration, and when I say normally, it's like, You know, I've been going to these things since, you know, 99, 2000 or so. But normally when they have registrations, they split everybody up by their last name. Mm-hmm. And the last line, well, the last line is for dealers, but the line before that is going to be your R through Z.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks because everybody's last name starts with a T or an S or something, you know, something like that. And there's a lot of R's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's really annoying because it's always the longest line. I mean, you know, the A's are A through D or whatever, zipping through line, and we're sitting in line because everybody's name starts with an R or an S, or a T or something. So this year was a little different. There was a, you know, a T, well, there was a, an R and a T line, and then there was the S through Q R S T
U through Z.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So it was the rest of the alphabet, right? Because I can't really do it in my head. Yeah. So it was the rest of the alphabet, and I'm a W. So I get in line, and there's two people in front of us. Now, mind you, there's probably about 30 people in the lines to the left and the right of us, and we're just marching to the front. And, in fact, I took a picture of Chrissy at the front. I was at the back of the line, or the back of the other lines, I should say. And way in the front of the line is Chrissy looking back at me, and there's nobody between us.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, she's so small, you can barely tell it's her. It's like, whoa, you're way over there. but that, so that was fun. There was like three people in front of us, and we got up there, and we, you know, got our, we registered, and they gave us our box set and our slicer figure. And then we went over to sit in the Hasbro store, or I should say the, not the Hasbro store, but the
BotCon
Transformers
store.
Club store. Yeah, the BotCon store line. And that was a little bit longer. But, I mean, we made it through in about an hour.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. I mean, there's been years where I've gone where it's been two and a half hours. And at one point they even said, maybe you should all come back tomorrow morning.
Now, do you think that because of the, I guess even though it kept getting delayed this year, but do you think because of the online registration that it was more fluent at the actual convention because of not having to fax things in, or does it really not matter?
No, I think that the online registration made the reporting a lot easier, and that made getting through the registration line a lot quicker. Now, getting through, well, I mean, granted, my line was non-existent, but just getting to the desk, filling out my name, getting my box, and walking on was very quick. Normally, you know, I mean, the lines are so long because it takes a while to get up there, and they have to fish through all of the paperwork, and, you know, it's always a pain. And they see, well, I want to say, and this is something Chrissy noted on, was that normally that registration line is manned by old people who are, like, there volunteering, and yeah, they are the slowest old people on the face of the planet. our line had some guy. I don't remember his name exactly, but, you know, some guy probably my age or so, and he was a little bit quicker on the draw. He got us through the line pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't complain there. Now, online registration has nothing to do with the BotCon store. So,
No, I was just asking as far as the actual box set line, as far as the actual registration lines. That's
yeah,
what was meaning.
I think it went a little quicker.
Yeah.
Compared to other years with, you know, fax-based registration and old people volunteers, it went by pretty quick.
Awesome.
Yeah, so can't complain there. But yeah, we sat in line for about an hour. We got our box, we got our pieces, and we, you know, marched out of there. I did run into Thorazine.
Yep.
I mean, he was just hanging out. In fact, he didn't even realize he was standing next to Brian Kilby. And I marched up, and I'm like, hey, Brian. And I'm like, Brad, take our picture. And he's like, okay. So, you know, he takes our picture. And I'm like, Brian, come here, take our picture. And Brian took a picture of me and Thorazine. He didn't realize that was, you know, Brian Kilby. He knows who Brian Kilby is.
Yeah.
He didn't realize he was standing next to him, which was just funny. At the time, I didn't realize I was standing next to Ender.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't actually meet him until the next day. So it's like, yeah, we're all hanging out. you know, and took some pictures, and then we got out of there. There was also a parts party. There's a guy on the TFW boards named Megamus.
Mm-hmm.
And they had – apparently they have a toy store called Mega Toy Fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Mega Toy Fan. This guy literally got another room for his toys. He had his family set up in one room, and then in the next room, which was the corner room, so I guess nobody complained.
Yeah.
But the next room was the corner room, and he literally had the entire room filled with shelves with toys. And he had a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of good, a lot of nice stuff.
Was
like
this
rare
at
stuff.
His house? Or
no, this is at the
hotel. He had two rooms in the hotel. Now, mind you, these rooms are $140 a night. And that's before they ding you with $10, $20 in fees and shit. So, which I didn't know about until we checked out, but that's, you know, different story. So we go in there, and he's literally got the whole room, everything. I mean, the dresser, the beds, the TV is pushed back. They did have War for Cybertron on the TV, which was kind of cool. And I think it was his son that was playing it. But eventually he turned it off so he could play Lego Star Wars or something, which was still kind of cool. But regardless, this guy had set it up so that they got an exclusive toy specifically for their parts party.
Awesome.
And the exclusive toy was a head robot's head, one of those little cobras. And he was selling – it's clear red plastic, and he was selling them for $20. So I was like, cool, you know, so I picked one of those up. I got some parts while I was there, and honestly, I think I got a little reamed as far as the price goes, but I went ahead and bought them anyway. And I say I got reamed a little bit because on my way back from the parts party, actually, I want to say I left. I was waiting for Thorazine to come out so we could, you know, go get a drink or something, but the line to talk to this guy was so long, and he was busy talking to everybody at once. And yeah, and it was just a clusterfuck in this room. So Thorazine never came out, so I eventually just left. So I'm heading back to my room, and there's a guy, two guys actually, that literally have suitcases open in the lobby, and they're full of toys and parts. And I took my parts list up to the guy, and he looked, gave it to him. He very quickly looked through his stuff and handed me a bunch of stuff that I didn't have yet for like $10. Now, mind you, Megamus just charged me $75.
No.
Yeah. And this guy's like, oh yeah, here, take this and take this and here's some more of this. And literally, it wasn't expensive at all. I mean, I probably, I want to say I grabbed some parts from him. I got the parts to finish off my MicroMasters Countdown set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I got some guns and some stuff. And then I also picked up a what is this? This is one of those UK Predator jets. He's missing his gun. I think this is Scorch. I forget his name, but he's missing a gun. He's a little dusty. I got to clean him. But I picked one of the, I think I gave him all of like $20. And I'm thinking, well, shit, you know, I'm kind of wishing I'd come here first. Yeah, but anyway, so neither here nor there. I went to a parts party, met Thorazine, met Brian Kilby, headed back to my room, went to sleep. The next day, and this is what kills me, is that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to do. You know, it's like you wake up and you're thinking, all right, I'm all set. Let's go. Let's do the BotCon thing. The panels didn't really start until, you know, 9. For me, it really didn't start till 10 because the 9 o'clock panel was like the Collectors Club comic.
Yeah.
And I'm not really invested in the Collectors Club comic. I don't really care about that. 10 o'clock, yeah, I'm looking at the thing now. 10 o'clock was the Takara Tomy panel, and I wanted to see that because Yoko-san was there. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of interesting, but the thing about Yoko-san is his English is a little slow, And so people would ask him questions, and he would be slow to answer. And it wasn't a whole lot of information really coming out.
Yeah.
But it was still cool because it's like, hey, this is the guy who's had his hand in every Transformer that's ever been made, all the way back to Diachrome.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Diachrome, but Diachrome.
Diachrome.
Right? Exactly. After that was Bob Budiansky, which was cool because I've never actually met him before. And, you know, I've read transcripts from his panels before, and he basically said the same thing he's always said. You know, the whole story of, they basically, Hasbro basically came out and talked with, I know the guy's name, and I can't remember what it is right now, but he's like Jim something. Jim Shooter. Talk with Jim Shooter at Marvel, and Jim Shooter came up with some ideas, and then he was looking for an editor to do it, and the fourth editor down, you know, he went to one cube, and the guy turned him down, went to another cube, turned him down. So the fourth guy was Bob, and Bob said, sure, I'll do it, and he hammered out 26 bio cards and renamed, like, half the guys in a weekend. It was, like, Thanksgiving weekend, and he just hammered it out, and then he turned it in, and they were so happy with it that they had him do the next batch and the next batch, and then they had him edit the four-issue comic book. And then after a while, he's editing and writing and even doing art cover. Like the Car Wash of Doom, that's his cover. He drew that himself.
It's funny you mentioned that. TJ Omega from the TFW podcast actually had Bob sign that comic book.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. I actually saw TJ Omega at the... I saw him there, and I was looking at him thinking, I recognize that guy from somewhere on YouTube, but I just can't place him. I don't recognize him. You know, and it was weird because I saw him. I was like, hey. And then the store opened at 2. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so from like noon to 2, I got nothing to do. And then there was the Hideki Yoki, Bob Budiansky, and Aaron Archer autograph session that I completely missed because I was in the sales room. I did get in line for, you know, Stan Bush and Paul Eiding and Scott McNeil.
Yes. We have a bone to pick with you about the Scott McNeil thing, which we will also be bringing up on Beast Unleashed.
Okay.
You could have found him later to ask him for an interview, damn it.
Do you know how hard it is to actually get next to this guy?
All you gotta do is go outside where the smokers are.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So anyway, here's the deal. The line was supposed to end at 5 o'clock. They were going to close the place down at 5.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't do, which would have been smart, they've done this in past years, they have two separate lines, one for Scott and one for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because Scott likes to talk. Scott will talk to every fan and until that fan's done talking, and then they move along. And the problem with that is you'll have everyone stopping to talk to Scott, and then you've got Paul Eiding and Bud Budiansky behind him like, hey, can you send that guy over here, please? Because I'm kind of sitting here on my ass. What they ended up doing, they still had – it got to be 5 o'clock, and they still have this huge line. So they started taking people out of line 10 at a time and bringing them over to Stan Bush and Bud Budiansky. And saying, here, sign these guys, and then putting that 10 back in line for Scott.
Wow.
And so eventually everybody's – I mean that's why I got to stop and talk to Stan Bush. I got to stop and talk to Paul Eiding for a few minutes. I got, you know, recordings from both of them because there was no one else in line behind me. I was just there.
I find it very funny. I'm sorry to interrupt you that – in the Stan Bush recording, you had said something about, you know, we just did an interview over at Geekcast Radio. Oh, yeah, Mike, is this for him? You want me to sign this for him? I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Ryan, that fucker ain't getting nothing.
Yeah, I already got my Stan Bush signature. Thank you very much.
Well, I was going to come back when he did autographs.
Oh, can't I have one?
Get your ass to vodka.
Yeah, Southern California next year.
Don't feel bad. I still don't have one either, so.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Sam Bush probably isn't that hard to get, to be honest. No. You could probably mail him shit and he'd send it back.
Yeah.
But no, he's a really nice guy.
He is. He's awesome.
Yeah, you know, and I will digress. I mean, back before, you know, there was the interview with him you guys did.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, all I knew him by was he wrote that crazy song that won't get out of my head, and it pops into, you know, pops into my noggin while I'm taking a shower, and I can't help but sing it. You know, bring me the head of Stan Bush. But now that I've, you know, heard the interviews and talk with him myself, he's just a really nice guy.
He is. He very much is.
Yeah, I dig him. So, you know, I talked to them. So I get back in line with Scott McNeil, and they came. They, when I say they, I mean like the BotCon people came by and said, "Wrap this up quickly. We don't want to be in line all night. You know, we have this room was supposed to close at 5:00. It's 5:30 already." You know what? You know, let's go. At 6:00, and mind you, Scott is still talking. At 6:00, they took us all out of the dealer room because the dealers are like, "Can we go now?" You know, and they took us all out of the dealer room, put us in the hall up front, and put Scott out there, and he's still signing. Chrissy came to pull me out of line at like 6:15 because they wanted to go to dinner, and I'm holding all the credit cards. So at that point, I am recording. Now, I think I recorded like 3 minutes of Scott McNeil. I was only able to send you guys the end of it.
Because do you have the rest?
I'm trying to get it. It won't come out of my iPhone. I don't know how to get it. But the rest of it's mostly just, "Hey, Scott, big fan. I'm with Beast Unleashed and blah, blah, blah." Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, there's Chrissy, and Chrissy's like, "It's Scott McNeil." And Aiden's like, "Is he a good guy or a bad guy?"
<You know>? Both.
Yeah. So I said, "I think he's a good guy, buddy." You know, as we walk away, because Chrissy's like, "Are you done yet?" And I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. But there was still another dozen people in line behind me, and I'm sure he went on to like 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
But this guy will not leave until he's talked to everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not a bad thing. I'm not condemning it. I mean, the guy's a class act. Mm. It's you know, he's there for the fans. He's gonna work it until every fan is happy.
If we get an interview with him, I can pretty much guarantee you it'll probably be the longest interview we've ever done, because I'm pretty much betting it would be over 2 hours long.
Yeah, I don't think he'd mind. I wouldn't mind, but
I wouldn't
it's
mind
interesting.
Either.
Yeah, I told him. I said, "We've been trying to get in touch with you on Facebook," and he's like, "I know, but I get so much Facebook stuff, and it scrolls by so quick." And I was like, "Yeah, I can understand, but we got to hook up." And he's like, yeah, we will. Yeah. So, I mean, that was interesting. And then the next day, I was supposed to be in line early for Peter Cullen. Peter Cullen's signing started at 9:00. I got there around a little after 8:00, thinking, 45 minutes is good to get early in line. The lines were cut off.
Ooh.
And not only were the lines cut off, but everybody who was in line by, you know, like 7 o'clock in the morning got a wristband that said you were in line. And anybody who didn't have a wristband had to get out of line.
Oh, no.
When I got there, they were just letting people – well, I got there, and I'm looking around like, what the hell? What am I going to do? And they started letting people into the room early. So I – because the dealer room opened at 8:30. Autographs didn't start till 9:00.
Yeah.
So the dealer room opens. They start letting people in the dealer room to get in line in the corner. I sneak in. I'm hanging out at the end of the line. I'm like, woohoo, check my shit out. I didn't have to sit in line. Then they start checking for wristbands.
Oh.
And everyone's like, well, I got a wristband. And I'm like, I don't have a wristband. And my first thought was, I don't think they gave me a wristband. And the guy's like, sorry, you have to get out of line. It's like, ah, damn it. So yeah, I didn't get to see Peter Cullen. And I was kind of bummed about this. You know, and at first it kind of bothered me. But then I had there was a second line at 9:30 for Bob Budiansky. And it was a really short line. So, you know, I looked around the dealer room for a little bit. And I finally come back. And I was still bummed and pissed off that I didn't wake up at 5 a.m. to see Peter Cullen. And I'm thinking to myself, if my wife were here, she would have woke my ass up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get in line. But instead, she's out with the boys at the park. Because she's much more responsible than I am. So I'm kind of bummed out. So I'm in line for Bob Budiansky. And I What happened here? Oh, I'm watching the people walk out from talking with Peter Cullen, because I can see Peter Cullen. He's 10 feet away.
Yeah.
And there's this long-ass line to Peter Cullen, still there. It's been running all morning. And the people who are watching, actually television cameras there filming people as they walk up and get stuff signed and walk away. And the people are so excited to see him.
Yeah.
And one girl's hyperventilating, and one girl is going, girls, right? Girls. One girl is getting her stuff signed, and her parents are standing next to me, and they're like, oh, she's so happy. I've never seen her so happy. She's so excited to meet Peter Cullen. And I'm thinking, I'm almost glad that I'm not in line, because I've met the guy twice before. I've got all sorts of stuff signed by him in the past. These people haven't. And if I had taken one of their spots in line, I probably wouldn't have felt very bad. So I'm kind of justifying it to myself this way, right? And they're all – these people are just very, very excited. And I'm kind of feeding off of that, thinking, well, hey, this is still kind of cool. This is nice. It's fantastic for Peter Cullen to come out and do that. I still made it to the panel, to hear him speak. And mm-hmm. I recorded some of that too, which was neat. It wasn't a total wash, but, Peter Cullen, hey. And I got to talk to Bud Budiansky, and while I was standing there, they, right next to the signing booth, they had the War for Cybertron booth. They had, six, seven, or eight giant screens set up. And when I say giant, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say 50-inch, but maybe 40 to 50-inch screens, flat screens, set up. And everyone was playing War for Cybertron. And it's awesome. So I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to record with Matt Teager, because he's the project lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna interview him. Well, he's talking to somebody, so I'm waiting patiently. And it occurs to me, he's talking to Hideaki Yoke. It was Yoki-san, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy fuck. So he does this thing, and he's showing him the game, and I'm looking at the game, and I'm looking at Yuki, and I'm looking at the game. And he gets done, and, Matt Teager says, arigato, and they say, arigato, and they turn around, and I'm standing there. And I said, Yoki-san, and he's like, oh, hello. And I said, how does it feel? I thanked him for being there and said, well, how does it feel that the things that you made 25 years ago are now moving and breathing on the screen like this? And he said, it's, again, very slow English, and I'm not entirely certain I understood everything he was saying, but he said, it was like a dream come true. Like, his imagination has come to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's really neat. And I thanked him. And I'm thinking, does nobody else realize that this is the guy who created Transformers, and he's standing right here? And
yeah.
Nobody else seems to realize that. There was a guy who saw me talking to him, and he had just had – he was coming out of the Peter Cullen line. He had just had his Optimus Prime – he had a G1 sealed Optimus Prime, and he had Peter Cullen sign it. And then he saw Yoki-san and had him sign it. And I'm thinking, ooh, wow. That would be a nice catch.
He is going to make a mint on eBay with that one.
Exactly. And I couldn't tell if it was a reissue. It was a Toys R Us reissue. It may have been, 2005 New Year's or whatever. I don't know. But he had one in the box, and it was signed by Peter Cullen and Yoki-san. So that was kind of, and I did, after Yoki-san left and I thanked him, I did talk to Matt, and I got a little recording from Matt. I think I sent that over.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it I sent over. It was a longer one.
Not much. No, it wasn't very long, actually, what you sent over, but...
Okay. It was 2 or 3 minutes, and he was given the whole spiel.
Yeah.
About, he basically gave the same spiel that I've seen 1,000 times. I didn't really ask him any questions. I think I asked him, like, oh, so is this the multiplayer or the single player? And he's like, no, this is single player. And
mm-hmm.
he was explaining it and how it works. And then he showed me how to play it. I turned the recorder off at that point. So he showed me how to play, and then we played for a little bit. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So I got to play War for Cybertron with the project lead.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I was all excited. Yeah, so at that point, I'm not feeling nearly bad, you know, about missing Peter Cullen. But I passed on the next autograph thing, and I went to the panel. I went to the Activision panel,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about how they built the game. And Aaron Archer was there. They talked, and I'm presuming Aaron Archer was there basically to make sure that Matt didn't leak anything important, you know, or anything secret. So they talked about the game and how they, you know, how all the collaboration that went into it, you know, how things started. And they said, you know, Mike, you and I had talked about, oh, I think you were mad because you couldn't play as, you know, Shockwave single player game. And he explained why that was. He explained all about the balance and everything. And he said at one point that, you know, we had jets and we, like Skywarp. And we wanted Skywarp – we wanted Skywarp to be able to teleport. So in order to teleport, you could temporarily turn invisible. And then we wanted to also have Thundercracker be a sharpshooter. So we gave them the sniper rifle. And then we wanted him to also be like Starscream, so the jets could also be – they were literally the fastest players in the game. So we have – the jet class, right, of all these jets who are mm-hmm. the Seekers. They're the fastest in the game. They can turn invisible, and they can shoot you from a mile away. So it was like ridiculously overpowered characters. And they said, we just couldn't have that. So we switched it up. We, you know, had to give some powers to other people, you know. And we couldn't have just one class of characters with all this power. And, you know, let alone let those characters play in the single-player game, you know, because it's all about balance. You know, the game's not going to be fun to play in either version, single-player or multiplayer, unless it's balanced.
I guess, but I just think, you know, and I'm not going to really get too much on this because it's a tangent and we need to keep this, you know, we need to keep this episode kind of tight, but
yeah.
My thing is if you're going to have a store exclusive for a game, like a code or whatever it is to get this exclusive character, you should be able to use that character throughout every single mode of the game. That's just my opinion on it. I understand that they need to balance things and everything else, but if you're going to have some sort of incentive to buy from GameStop or to buy from Best Buy, I think you should be able to use that character in any mode of the game, not just specific modes. That's just me, and that's all I'm saying.
And again, when you're playing
the
game...
I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, when you're playing the game, it's like, it's part of the story. And Aaron Archer had basically said, as of Friday, the Transformers canon has been rebooted, starting with this game.
Yeah.
When this game comes out, that's the new canon. And Aaron Archer has been... He talked about this a little bit on Sunday, but basically said, you know, he has been reimagining who are the original 13 Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does that come from? Who are these people? What's their story? And there's like a whole line of comics and books and, you know, all sorts of things that are coming out that are going to feed on this new mythos that they're recreating. And it's very closely related to the earlier stuff, but, you know, a whole new canon, basically. And it's starting with the game.
But someone who's been playing through War for Cybertron, I'm finding that this whole thing with Dark Energon makes no sense. It's like, oh yes, we have this mystical Dark Energon that nobody has ever been able to control, except now Megatron can control it. It's like, what?
What? Yeah, and he's gonna, you know, turn the planet into a war planet. But they introduce these new concepts like Zeta Prime. Well, we have to inform Zeta Prime, and Optimus Prime says, you know, oh, Zeta Prime's kind of dead. I'm you know, accepting field command or something. And they kind of explain things like how Optimus became the commander, how Optimus met Bumblebee, how Megatron met Starscream. And I saw these, and I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. You know, I mean, a lot of new concepts that are coming out, and then kind of obliterating some older concepts, like who the hell is Zeta Prime? You know, things like that.
Zeta Prime's there, just there.
Well, yeah, Zeta Prime I thought was the leader of the Autobots before Optimus.
He is, but not for long.
Yeah, well, I think at the end of the, I'm assuming, I didn't see this, but at the end of the the Decepticon campaign, I'm assuming that Megatron kills him. Just assuming. I don't know.
I've made it through the end of the Decepticon campaign, and there are some good things about the game, and there are some real bad things about the game. But this whole Zeta Prime thing, I'm reading through Transformers Exodus right now. Yeah. Zeta Prime hasn't even been mentioned, and I'm halfway through the book.
Huh.
Sentinel was there, but there's no mention of this Zeta Prime at all. Yet.
Yeah, they're already fucking up the canon. So what we need to do is we all need to play the game and then come back and have a game podcast.
Yeah, at some point.
Play the game and maybe read some of the book.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be getting the book. I read the first four chapters on the Hasbro website that they put out, and I want that book.
It's actually that first chapter is kind of threw me because I was like, well, wait a minute. They're moving a little bit too fast here, but then the rest of the book is a much more even distribution, not even pace. Sorry, mm-hmm. even pace, yeah. And it's a lot better. And there is a hell of a lot of like philosophy in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a hell of a lot.
They're getting deep. Well, again, and Aaron Archer, he's kind of got another promotion, and now he's not designing figures anymore. Now he's designing the mythos.
Is he officially the brand manager now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of him, which is cool. You know, good for him. I went to the panel for Paul Eiting and Scott McNeil, and Scott was gracious enough to let Paul talk a little bit. You know, and Paul was like, hey, I didn't realize this was his first convention. And he was like, I didn't realize that anybody cared about Perceptor. I had no idea. There was a guy in the back of the room dressed as Perceptor, and he's jumping up and down. And he's like, oh my God, look at that back there. You know, there's a guy dressed up as Perceptor. Yeah, so there was a guy also dressed up as Dinobot. Transmetal Dinobot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was some kid. There was a lot of little kids there dressed up. It was funny.
I didn't see too many cosplayers this year. And like in all the pictures I've seen of the entire event, there weren't too many cosplayers this year. Normally it's BotCons, like the last 2 years, there's been, you know, an army of cosplayers all over the place. This year I didn't see too many.
I don't see more than a dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, and this year I made a point to like take pictures.
Yeah.
Nitro Streak was there. She was dressed as Sunstorm.
Yeah.
Got a picture of her. There was a 12-foot tall Starscream there. Got a picture of him, and he's like, Starscream, now that you have conquered the universe and you're the king, you know, it was King Starscream with the crown and the shoulder pads and the cape, and they said, you know, what are you going to do now? And he says, I'm going to Disney World! And everybody cheered. It was awesome. Yeah,
how was the Hall of Fame dinner? What was that all about?
It was nice. I was gonna preface that by saying before that we went to the Peter Cullen panel.
Oh, okay.
And that's when he announced that he was no longer Eeyore.
Oh, sad. Why?
He didn't say. He just said he's been informed that he's no longer Eeyore. Because they asked him what would it sound like if Optimus Prime met Eeyore. And he's like, well, that's kind of funny because I'm no longer Eeyore. And the clip is in there.
It is.
You got the clip. But,
yeah.
You know, that drew a big cheer. Everyone thought that was funny. And they asked him, the guy in front of me, in fact, I think, got up and asked him, how do you feel about Optimus Prime taking people's faces? You know? And he said, oh, you know, I thought that would hurt, you know. It's like he's ripping your face off. He said, but I don't think Optimus Prime has changed. I don't think that he said, I don't think Optimus Prime has changed. And everyone else is like, oh, I think he has. You know, there was kind of a murmur across the audience. Like, I think he has.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but no, he didn't think so, and he's basically standing on his point that no, Optimus Prime still stands for truth and justice and dignity and courage.
And big guns!
He's just a little bit more violent.
Yeah, it's just a stone-dead killer now who puts bullets through Demolisher's head without so much as asking him who the hell the Fallen is. Yeah, so, I mean, I understand that, you know, Peter is getting a paycheck and he can't say certain things, but come on, man. You know, come on. Come on. And he did plug the hub. You know, he's like, oh, and the hub, you're going to love the hub, and the hub is amazing, and it's like, dude, we understand, you're getting paid. Okay, fine. You know, at least Scott is going to come out and say, I'm a whore, you know, whoever's going to pay me, I'll say it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to say that Peter's a whore, we love Peter, but, you know, he's getting a paycheck, you know, we understand you have to plug them, you know, you could hate the hub, you could completely, you know, despise the PR guy for the hub, you know, but
yeah,
you get paychecks, so you can't say that.
Yep.
But, yeah, so that night we went to the awards dinner. We went to the cocktails first, and Christy and I walked around and mingled a little bit and talked to some people who looked relatively normal. I ran into David Willis, and he wasn't wearing the orange shirt, so nobody else recognized him.
Wait, Walkie?
Yeah. Walkie was there.
Oh, God. He wasn't wearing the
orange
shirt.
Yeah. So I said,
he's wearing it to eat conventions that aren't Transformers.
Yeah. Well, that's his thing. You know, everybody knows him because he's orange. I went to a BotCon a couple of years ago, and I had my hair was still grown out long, you know, and I had the No, I'm Batman shirt on that I bought from you know, Willis a few years back. And somebody stopped me and said, are you David Willis? And I'm like, no, he's wearing an orange shirt. You'll recognize him. He's the only guy here in an orange shirt, you know. So, yeah, this year I got a haircut before I went, so I wouldn't be mistaken for Walkie. But, yeah, so I saw him there, and he was wearing a black collared shirt. And I said, hey, David Willis, I didn't recognize you without your orange shirt on. And he's like, oh, I own other shirts. Yeah, you clean up well. And he kind of looked at me and said, he's like, yeah, I clean up sometimes. And I'm like, what are you drinking? And he's like, I'm having a rum and coke. And I'm like, oh, well, don't get hammered. And he's like, oh, I intend to. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't see him the rest of the night, but I saw him then, and Christy and I were mingling again. And I pointed out Stan Bush, and I'm like, see over there, that's Stan Bush, and blah, blah, blah. You know, because Christy, was getting drunk, basically. She was getting drunk and was hanging on me because she was afraid that these fangirls were going to attack me en masse. And it's like, no, that's not the case. You know, they could care less about me. Anyway, so each inductee had a little video that explained who they were and what they did. And each robot had a little video that explained who they were and what they did. And the funny thing is each robot had a theme song. Mm-hmm. And this is what kills me. This kind of bothered me. And I'll tell you, I kind of felt that Stan Bush got snubbed here. Because Bumblebee's theme song was the Karate Kid theme. You know, it's like, you're best around, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Well, you know, you've talked to Stan Bush, and he basically said that Dare, or maybe The Touch, or maybe both of them, what he really wanted for them was to be a montage in an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
I think he said Cobra. But, you know, this was the Karate Kid theme song. This was the montage in an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
And they used it as Bumblebee's theme song, and they didn't use, like, The Touch. I think people would have freaked out standing ovation if they had used The Touch.
Yeah, The Touch should have been for Prime, though.
Well, Prime, oh, God, what was Prime's theme song? They used Metallica a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah, they used a couple Metallica songs in there.
For Megatron, maybe?
I can't remember offhand. But there was definitely at least two Metallica. I think Soundwave got I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah, he did.
You know, when he reaches up to touch the tape deck to eject, and they kind of like ran that forward and back a couple times so it looked like he was pointing to himself. And he's like, I love rock and roll. And he's pointing to himself like I do. It was funny. I mean, these were fun. And they used clips from the movie. They used clips from the TV show. They used clips from animated when they could, you know, from Bumblebee and Prime. It was just very well done, and I really liked it. They used Welcome to the Jungle for Dinobot.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. And they used the for Grimlock, they used the Godzilla theme song.
God.
Yeah, it was funny. I enjoyed it. But yeah, it was very well laid out, you know, kind of music video-esque. But I kind of felt like Stan got stood up because it's like, wait a minute, you're the best around? You know, they couldn't go with a more appropriate 80s montage song. And then Dinobot won Fans Choice. And you know David Willis is freaking the shit out. I didn't see him, but apparently he was standing up in his chair. Everyone gave a standing ovation. Scott McNeil was not asked to say anything. They didn't say, Scott, you're standing over there at that table 10 feet away. Why don't you come up and accept in Dinobot's voice? Which would have been very satisfying. But nobody said anything.
Sounds like they dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Scott, and I wanted to ask Scott the next day. It's like, hey, do you feel like you got screwed?
I would bet you that they dropped the ball, or if he does that Dinobot voice, I wonder if they would be forced to pay him.
Oh.
Because if you do, well, I don't know if he's a member of SAG.
You know, he had been doing the Dinobot voice all night, and nobody paid him.
That's true.
So I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
I think at the convention he just does it for fun. Pass.
I'm sorry, Steve. Say that again.
I was saying, I think at the convention, I think he just does it for fun. I don't think he's really, considering he wasn't on the main panel.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. So I felt bad for both of them, but you know. Hey, they were just there to sign shit, I suppose. But then they weren't like... It's like Peter Cullen was up there. Yoshi-san was up there. The other guy was the other Japanese guy who actually created Sunstreaker, the first Transformer. And he stayed in Japan. He couldn't make it. And Bob Budiansky was up there. And Bob basically said the same thing he said in his panel. Basically going up there and repeated it again. It's like, Bob, I've heard you say this 5 times already. But yeah... a lot of cheering, a lot of happy people. Christy and I ran into Elizabeth, Nightmax's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was very nice. We ate dinner with her, and there was two other couples at our table that I didn't get their names, but they were nice. But mostly we talked with, you know, Elizabeth, and Max was there with his toys, and he had a Dion, and he tore the arm off it. You know, and I'm like, I'll fix that for you. So I'm sitting here fiddling with Dion for like 5 minutes straight trying to get this damn. Dion is just so poorly made. I've had legs pop off before, but never an arm. And the arm socket is not like a ball joint.
Is he worse than the actual Hotshot mold?
No, same as the Hotshot mold. Maybe okay. A little looser. I mean, the Hotshot mold didn't fall apart on me when I took him out of the package. Dion did.
That figure is just a terrible, terrible figure.
Terrible. Yeah, I fixed him. Made Max happy. Elizabeth, very lovely. She, you know, kind of like Willis, cleans up well, except prettier. And that was nice. So we hung out with them and you know, pretty much promptly got out of there and went back to our room. I think we were thinking about having ice cream afterward, but it was just like, oh, I'm tired, and I just went out. And then the next...
So did the boys, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Did the boys get to experience any of this? Because I know this is Gavin's first BotCon, and is this Aiden's first as well, or is this his second?
This was Aiden's second. The only part of this he really got to experience was when Chrissy brought him to drag me out of the Scott McNeil line. So Aiden got to meet Scott McNeil very briefly. And Aiden's like, hi! And Scott McNeil's like, hey, how's it going? You know. If I'm ever able to send you the full clip from Scott McNeil, you'll hear that too. But that was it. We didn't get him a Minicon pass. Chrissy had basically intended just to take the boys to Disney World all weekend.
Yeah.
And they did. You know, Sunday after BotCon, we kind of lounged around the pool instead. We decided not to go back to Epcot. We just hung out. We did walk over to the Disney's boardwalk and watch the Epcot fireworks at 9 o'clock, and then after that we went back to bed. But yeah, other than that, no, the boys really didn't attend BotCon this year.
Yes. Let's see. We're not really going to talk too much about the box set and the exclusives because Michael and I are going to do a ToyCast exclusive episode for that.
I got the box right here.
I know you got the box right there, and you are hereby deemed over the next however many toys there are over the however many next 10 episodes of ToyCast. You have to talk about each one each episode. So that's your assignment this time. Any other highlights from BotCon that you want to bring up?
Well, Sunday was short and sweet. I think I did say hi to Evangelist. When he passed by, basically I was waiting for 3 o'clock to roll around so that I could get cheap toys, and I waited till like the last second specifically to buy anything. And there was a dealer out of Canada, who basically said, "I don't want to take any of this shit home," and he gave me a really good deal on some older stuff. And yeah, I picked up a couple Headmasters and a Target Master. And you may have heard me complain about this, but I was. I put all the stuff back in my bag, and when I got back to my room, the gun on my Target Master – not my Target Master. The gun on my Power Master had bent a little bit. Now I have a little stress mark on the gun handle. And it's like, fuck, I just dropped $80 on this guy. And now his gun, which normally sells for like $25, is got a stress mark. It's damn near broken.
That sucks.
Yeah, so it's like I missed out on Peter Cullen. I just dropped $80 on a toy that's now busted. Chrissy called me while I was – oh, my God. I was in the dealer room. She called me and said, oh, that gray car you have in the room, it broke. And I basically – I was afraid – I found one dealer who had – one dealer in the whole room who had Alternator's camshaft.
Oh.
And he was selling it for $55. And I'm like, shit, this is going to sell. He's going to be gone. I'm going to buy it now. So I went, that was the only one that I bought before Sunday. And Chrissy was trying to pack it up. And the rearview mirror popped off.
Ooh,
it goes back on. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be removable or not, but it goes right back in. Mm-hmm. I shit myself, though. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to forget that you said this until later. I was like, oh, my God. You know, so basically I've got two toys here that are now busted before I even get them back to my room. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. You know, it's like I got to wake up at 5 in the morning to meet people, and I miss my wife. The whole time I was missing my wife. Normally when we go to these things, I have my wife with me. The last time we went, she had Aiden with her. Mm-hmm. So we drug Aiden around a little bit. But, you know, this time I was kind of lonely, and it bothered me. This is the first year that I've actually talked to people. Like, I ran into Brian Kilby a couple of times. We actually sat down and recorded a little bit. I don't think any of it came through because the overhead speaker kept coming in and talking about, bullshit. Like, oh, the raffle is starting now, or the signature panels are stopping now, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of it came through, but me and Ender basically sat and talked about the Unicron trilogy and how it compared to Power Rangers for like 20 minutes. And it was nice. We just had fun. And, I wasn't really doing any shopping at the time anyway. I was trying to get over the fact that Chrissy broke my camshaft. So basically it's like this is the first year that I've actually tried to talk to people. I've never talked to anybody before. I've seen people there year after year after year, and I say, like Ben Yee. I know who Ben Yee is. I see him every year. And yeah. It's like, I've never said hi to him. Maybe 2 or 3 years back, I finally said hi to David Willis for the first time. And this year, I'm meeting all sorts of people. We met, Thorazine and Rachel Bott, Callie, who makes the Puggle Formers. I met her, and she actually just opened up her site to commissions and got a buttload of commissions in 3 minutes and had to close it off. And she's all excited. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I saw the Puckle Formers. If she had had a bag of them there, I would have bought one or two easily.
Yeah.
You know, I told her, you should have a bag of these here. People would buy these. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And, oh, yeah, yeah, you know. So, yeah, I met a lot of people and, you know, hung out with some of them. And some of them, you know, just wanted to say hi and scurry off and do their own thing, which was cool. But, again, still felt kind of lonely. Wishing my wife was there. I think I had more fun during the dinner.
Wait, didn't you bring, like, two or three family members along so you could have your wife with you? Wasn't that the whole point of bringing the rest of the family along?
Yes and no.
They wanted to do other things.
Yeah, basically, my mother-in-law came, and Chrissy's little sister came. And, you know, that was nice, but they had their hands full with the boys. At this point, Gavin he doesn't want to sit in the stroller. He wants to run. And either that or he wants to be held and carried. So one of the two had Gavin in their arms the whole weekend. And, yeah, I mean, they babysat while Chrissy and I went out to dinner. And Chrissy and I had some alone time. We went out and you know, went to Magic Kingdom by ourselves for a little while. And that was nice. But, you know, I don't think it would have been feasible for Chrissy to hang out with me at BotCon the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I basically miss my wife. I wanted my wife to hang out with me. Next year, at the awards dinner, they announced that next year is just going to be in California.
Again,
I know.
The only reason why that is because the movie comes out a month before the convention, or a month after the convention.
No, the movie comes out 2 weeks after the convention.
No,
most
July
likely.
1st. July 1st is when Transformers 3 comes out. June 2nd to 5th is when the convention is.
Well, I have a feeling that they're going to do the same thing they did with the last movie. They're going to have people who already live in Hollywood come visit in Pasadena.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. I mean, maybe they can get Weird Al to come out, or, you know, Tyrese Gibson or Michael Bay or whoever else is already in Hollywood at the time to come and do guest stop spots. And that's, you know, that's all well and good, but at the same time, it's like they know full well the problems they had last year, which were there wasn't enough hotel space. The hotel's already booked. The next day, everybody bought out the hotel. So now you can't stay at the Sheraton. Apparently, there's no other hotels in the immediate area. You're going to have to take a cab no matter where you stay. I was talking to Brian Kilby, and he said that one of his friends got mugged and beat the snot out of while he was there. And I'm thinking, why would they, you know, it's dangerous and it's cramped. And, you know, why would they put it there again? Why not do San Diego? Why not, you know, a little bit open, a little bit more open, a little less likely to get mugged? Maybe, you know, just pick someplace else where you haven't already been. And, yeah, so I don't know. Chrissy basically said, hey, we haven't been to Disneyland. You know, and I don't know how much different Disneyland is from Disney World, but Chrissy's basically saying, why don't we stay in Disneyland and you can rent a car and drive the 25 miles into Pasadena?
Yeah.
He's like, fuck that. I don't know if I even want to go back to BotCon. Yeah. Because it's such a hassle. And I'm going to miss my wife again, and, you know, maybe there'll be more friends there. I don't know. Oh, which reminds me, I also talked to Proto Man. Well,
very like cool. Twice. We will save that for the Toycast talk.
Yeah. Next time we run into Proto Man, we'll talk. After TFCon, when he has more time, we'll recap. But
actually, I'm going to announce this now. We will have two Toycast specials in the month of July, one with Michael and I for the BotCon toys. Just an overview, and then next Wednesday, the 7th of July, I will be recording with Proto Man and Drew Iden for a Rodimus special. All things Hot Rod, Rodimus Prime, every single thing. So that's going to be one hell of a long-ass show.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot to say. In fact, they just announced that the next masterpiece was going to be Rodimus.
Rodimus, yeah.
So he's going to – I'm sure he knows. I'm sure he's freaking out.
Yeah, he there's a picture floating around. He Yeah. There's a picture floating around where he tried to steal the protector armor. But anyway. All right, so we're going to cut to the Cullen audio that Michael grabbed for us. Thank you very much, Michael, for all the audio that you did grab. And that'll do it. We'll come back with a quick outro, and that'll be it.
Only on Cartoon Network.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I have been informed that I am no longer Eeyore. And what would Eeyore say to Optimus Prime? And what would Optimus Prime say back? Hello, Optimus. Hello, Eeyore. I just found out I'm not going to be me anymore. Eeyore. Whose butt do I kick? Seriousness, because I was convinced as a kid, I was always more afraid when a guy was real, and real scary. And I was never afraid of guys that pump it up and do, you know, evil things. Like, you know, that was, none of that stuff scared. So I wanted to be scared myself, so Bender, for example, I just try to make him really evil and really scary. Compared to an iconic hero, I much prefer to be the hero. It does so much more good than it does an evil character. And I don't know whether I answered the question or not, but there are some times to play an evil character and play him as a ham. And now that's fun, to do a real ham, but to do a serious evil character, not on my list of favorite things to do.
As a
the only Trump sounds I could make were an 18-wheeler, you know. Well, that's not too many words. But in the breakdown of his character, that was ultimately the goal, was to achieve what the authors had intended. And the iconic character consisting of integrity, honor, courage, dignity. These are some of the greater attributes that every real hero should have, and they were included and they were there. And I was very hopeful that in my audition that I had accomplished all those ingredients and put them together. I thought that I had. And the story is that I based Optimus Prime on my brother Larry, who was a captain in the Marine Corps at the time and retired, and we were sharing an apartment together, and I was on my way to the audition when Larry told me in his voice, we're only 13 months apart. He said, Peter, just don't go over the top, just be relaxed and don't go crazy. Just do your thing. Okay, Larry. Okay. And then there I was, sailing. Gosh, this is Larry speaking. So, my name is Optimus. My name is Larry Cullen. My name is Optimus Prime. Okay, it works. Thanks, Larry. All those were. I would like to say this, and I think you people have met me before, but now I tell the truth when I say how grateful I am to you, the most tenacious and loyal group of people that I acknowledge my success to, for that tenacity and fighting for me to get me back as I've been to mine. And from my heart to all of you, I say thank you and I love you for it.
I'd like to thank you, Michael, for getting us all the BotCon audio. I'm sure it seemed like it was a very fun trip.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. And anything that I failed to mention, you can probably find on YouTube by now. I know Evangelist has put stuff up, and TJ Omega has put some stuff up, and a couple other people, a lot of people have put YouTube videos up, so you can find most of it there.
Yes. And I think that's going to do it for All Things Transformers. I am TFG1 Mike, and I have been joined with Michael Wilson, Spada, and Megatron. Close the show.
Negative. No.
Okay. See you next time, folks.
You got the time.